Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Russia has always been a bit of a mystery to the rest of the world, and that can include certain aspects of the Eastern Orthodox Church. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, is here to talk about the church, the country, and religious liberty. Lincoln, what's on your mind today?
I don't know how many of our listeners are much concerned with Russia at the moment. They probably should be, but for some odd reason, the media are very quiet about the growlings of a Russian bear of late.
Yes.
About all that most people know is that Russia got a bit impatient and started bombing ISIS in Syria, and the U.S. felt threatened by it, but we've reached some sort of an agreement. Maybe that's all they know. But what I think is significant is that Russia, once the heartland of the Soviet Union, of course surrounded by many satellites that are now independent, and many of them have joined with the European Union, which in a nutshell is why Russia is now growling a lot,
yes.
Russia really is changing rapidly before our eyes and in some ways reverting with steroids to what it was in the past.
That's not good. I don't like the sound of that.
No, because, I grew up, you grew up in the Cold War when the Soviet Union / Russia was growling a lot. I think it was exaggerated a bit, but we were inculcated with the idea that this coalition of communist nations armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons, MIRV warheads and all the rest could precipitate war, and we'd be dueling it out with them or duking it out with nuclear missiles, and we'd be forced to shelter under our school desk and maybe survive.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
Not. Probably not.
I grew up thinking that a school desk could save me from a nuclear explosion. I thought that was
pretty
incredible.
Well, that's what the video said at the time. Duck and cover.
Duck and cover. That'll do it, yeah, every time.
Those days were not nice. They've gone. The Soviet Union collapsed. The collapse may have not been as quite the nature we imagined, but it was certainly a structural political collapse.
Mm-hmm.
It was still a dangerous nuclear adversary and still, for that matter, retains most of those same weapons. And Putin recently, I saw him on television, he smiled a wry smile and he says, "You think most of it's rusting old weapons," but he says, "I tell you, this is not so."
Mm-hmm.
And then he recounted how they've added about 30 ICBMs just in the last year or two. But, it's stirring again. And I think NATO, with their own initiative, have been partly responsible because Putin is an ex-KGB agent, very concerned for the status of Mother Russia, has been anxious to reassert Russia's role over the surrounding countries, as the U.S. does, say, with Mexico and Canada. It's not unnatural for a big country to want to be recognized as the player in its region.
Mm-hmm.
But what's different, I think, and this is what I want to comment on our program here, which tries to focus on religious liberty and religious concerns, is that Russia before communism was monolithically an Eastern Orthodox Christian community. And with the collapse of communism, it reverted very quickly, surprisingly quickly, again, to Eastern Orthodox sensibility. Obviously, in the modern era, a lot of people are consumer-oriented and busy about their normal life. But that doesn't mean they don't retain a religious identity, even though their faith may be weakened. And Russia is monolithically Eastern Orthodox. We've had a lot of problems in the last few decades with overseas denominations, other Christian groups, evangelical, even the Salvation Army have had some problem in Russia getting registered or recognized by the government, which meant, on one level, we don't care if the government recognizes us, but in recognizing the church, it often means, in fact, it usually means that you can get building permits, you can get the right to own property, and members are not ostracized in the workplace and so on. So this has been a long-term story, but what I think is recent is that with the emergence of Russia as now the new or reinvented superpower antagonist to Western interests, Putin has very consciously joined forces with the Eastern Orthodox Church. It was always very close together in the old Russia, but now it's overt. And he makes very overt statements. Like the leader of the Eastern Orthodox Church actually resides in the Kremlin.
Hmm.
That's how closely it's been brought together now. And Putin has made statements equating the fortunes of Russia with those of the Mother Church. And he said that they need to unite against global terrorism. This is the new holy crusade, if you will.
Well, I mean, I'm all for them uniting against something, but it's the uniting for something that's the problem that I'm looking at. Am I right?
Well, the underlying problem is the main reason that bothers me from Liberty's point of view is we defend the separation of church and state.
Right.
Anytime church and state become one, and particularly a state like this that's determined to act hegemonically, to use an old Cold War term, but, you know, to project political power outward, you've got an aggressive, politically active church. And in our article that we nearly ran in Liberty, there's reasons why we've pulled it. The Eastern Orthodox minister, for want of a better word, spraying the holy water on the troops lined up ready for action.
Oh, boy.
There's a picture of Putin standing next to the head metropolitan of the church and identifying political power with the aspirations of the church. It's quite unique. At the very least, it's the Russian equivalent to what existed in the medieval era with the Pope and some of the potentates of Europe.
You know, I'm not going to put John Lennon in the realms of being a prophet or some type of spiritual leader, but when he said, imagine a world with no religion, that's what he was thinking about. He wasn't talking about let's not pray, let's not worship, let's not sing songs of praise to God. He was talking about that type of intertwining between religion and politics. Would I be on the right track saying that?
Well, of course he was. And most people that in the Western world, at least, that have moved away from Christianity, I think that's what's bothered them. Either individual offended them, but that's aside. But they're troubled by religion as it exists as a structure. Mm-hmm. And they're forgetful that Christianity, as Jesus introduced it, was an emotional connection and an inner process. The church is just a necessary organization. But when it takes off by itself as a power, as a political force, it's very dangerous. You know, I got up at a religious liberty conference once and shocked them by saying that there's way too much religion in the world, way too much. Not enough spirituality, but way too much religion.
Yes.
But as far as the Eastern Orthodox, it's worth remembering that Christianity in Russia has a long history. The country was converted over 1,000 years ago to Christianity. Of course, back then you just had to convert the ruler and then all of his people came with them. But still, it had a Christian identity. But Eastern Orthodox broke very early from the Church of Rome and the Western Church. There was a great schism, as it was called. It was over many cultural things, but doctrinally, it was almost singularly over the authority of the papacy, the Roman Catholic Pope. When Pope Leo IX made the claim of a direct succession from the Apostle Peter and said that he had jurisdiction over the entire church, East and West, that was rejected by the Eastern Orthodox. They didn't accept, as now Protestants don't, that that's a valid succession. Not a valid authority, that he's not an extraordinary ruler over Christendom. The schism really formally kicked in 1054 when Pope Leo IX had the Patriarch Michael I excommunicated. In fact, for that matter, Michael excommunicated the Pope too.
Yes.
They played dueling excommunications. And while there are efforts being made right now by Rome, I know, it doesn't seem that that schism is healed yet.
Has it ever worked? Has there ever been a case where the joining of church and state has just come out smelling like a rose?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. The best one I can come up with, which most people don't know, is that John Calvin, one of the great reformers of the Reformation era, in a curious quirk of political fortunes, became the de facto ruler of Geneva.
Mm-hmm.
And the shame of John Calvin was that he executed a guy that differed from them on a religious point, and he had him executed. But generally speaking, Calvin's rule was reasonable, but regrettable. Yes, it doesn't work out well when you allow religious rulers to have the civil power, and it certainly doesn't work out well when the civil power tries to control the church. And even though it began the Great Reformation period of Protestant England, Henry VIII's transformation was rather rough and abusive, where he actually, I think, executed some priests and took all the church property. Not good.
Yeah.
And led directly to the Puritan revolution of a few hundred years later.
I always ask you this question when we have these discussions, and I want to do it again today. After hearing you talk about this, my mind says, are we doing that? Is there anything like that happening in this country of America that we love so much? Are you seeing echoes of that type of tension? Because it would seem to me that we are moving in the opposite direction. We don't want religion of any shape or form in this country anymore.
I don't agree with your statement.
Okay, good.
I think every presidential election shows by polls and people's attitudes and that religion is most important. And right now we're in this battle against Islamic fundamentalism. And yes, people are a little cautious about what they say, but religion is the main topic in town.
Hmm.
To the degree that this terrorism advances, I think we will retreat and reform our view of what it is to be a religious state. And, of course, that's not good because it'll be a religio-political marriage.
That's true.
And, of course, all of the debate about gays and gay rights, it's got the pizzazz that it has because religious sentiments are so loudly articulated. Not always correctly, but very loudly.
Right.
Our culture is very much religious, not spiritual. So religion is big time. It's not to be dismissed.
And, of course, there are red flags, as you have said, when religion becomes that big time, am I right?
Well, a red flag, again, for religious liberty principles, when a religious group or a political actor using religion tries to force that view upon others through law, you've got huge problems. Again, shorthand, you can know that something has nothing to do with religious liberty when coercion is involved. Even a moral principle, even a religious viewpoint, if it's coerced upon someone else, if it's forced upon them, if they are required to agree with it and act according to it, it's wrong. As a Seventh-day Adventist, even if there were a law to come up in the United States requiring people to cease from work on Saturday and worship, that right. would be the most wrong dynamic possible. Structurally, that would be a great evil.
Those are words of wisdom from Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
A good discussion. It's always great. Thank you to the listeners for following us.
Amen to that. And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.